you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Peter. I really enjoyed that worship. It's great to lift our voices and our hearts toward God, isn't it? To give Him something of the worth that is due from us in our hearts, to count Him worthy. If you'd also like to take your buff bulletin and turn to the inner fold, please. We've been doing a series in 2 Peter on overcoming error. We haven't altogether seen why it's entitled that, but we're moving toward that. The title of this morning's message is Brotherly Love. Let's ask God's help. Father, we come before you, for nothing in your word is clear to us unless the Holy Spirit illuminate us, it and show it to us. And you work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure through your Spirit. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that today our hearts would be open, we would desire to do your will, and, Lord, that you would enable us to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you imagine the summit of Mount Everest to be like? Well, if the weather is clear, you are certainly on the top of the world, and the view is, of course, majestic, awesome, extensive, panoramic. But the surprise is that the top of Everest is only the size of a billiard table. Enough room for three people to stand. When you get there, you can look at the view, and perhaps it is a great view, but there's not much else you can do. 10 minutes looking and you have to go back down. Reaching the summit of Christian experience is very different to that. If you go to Echo Point at Katoomba, you can get a view out there in the distance of Mount Solitary. And if you were to climb Mount Solitary, the experience at the top would be very different to Everest. The top of Everest is only the size of a billiard table, but the top of Mount Solitary is a couple of square kilometres at least. That is much closer to the analogy of the summit of Christian experience. Once you reach the summit of godliness, you have the rest of your life to experience the summit. Unlike Everest, Christian experience, the summit of Christian experience, is no small thing. The last descriptions of the summit are brotherly kindness and love. Let's have a look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And we've been moving through each of those spiritual dynamics week by week, and we're up to brotherly kindness this week. What then is brotherly kindness? And what is the experience of it? Well, the New Testament fully answers that question. And as we gather the verses together, we can make two statements about brotherly kindness. The first comment about brotherly kindness is, as Christians, we should have brotherly love. And I'm going to call it brotherly love from now on, and I'll explain that in just a second. As Christians, we should have brotherly love. Verse 7 says, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. The word translated brotherly kindness in our New King James Bibles is the word Philadelphia. It is made up of two great Greek words, referring to brother and referring to love. And that's why we're going to refer to this as brotherly kindness from here on in. It's the idea of liking. In brotherly kindness, I must at least like my brothers and sisters. It has the idea of mateship or friendship, or the kind of love that we have within a family, that phileo love, that brotherly love in a family. Other translations, therefore, translate Philadelphia this way: love of brothers, brotherly love, kindness toward brothers, brotherly affection, or Christian affection. You start to get the idea as the translators struggle to translate that one Greek word, Philadelphia. Now, when we become a child of God, we enter the family of families, the family of God. And every other person who is in Christ around this world is our brother and sister. And that's a very special relationship. They are all family. We are to add to godliness this brotherly kindness for all our brothers and sisters wherever they are, but especially for brothers and sisters in this local church. This is where brotherly love is tested. It has to be fleshed out in our daily lives and the life of our church. You'll remember that godliness principally refers to devotion to God, our love of God. It is not only Peter that links this concept of devotion in godliness to brotherly kindness. John also does this in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20 on your sheet says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So devotion to God or godliness is very clearly linked to brotherly love. Those two things, the devotion to God and love of brothers, flows from the same heart of love. Now, the word for love used in 1 John 4, 20 to 21 is not that word Philadelphia, it is the word agape, that sacrificial love. And so the concepts of agape love and Philadelphia love are going to overlap heaps. They're both about love, after all. So we could translate verse 7 this way. We add to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love sacrificial love. Jesus also uses the word agape when he talks about love for each other. And he's talking about brotherly love when he's talking about love for each other. John 15 and verse 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love, agape, one another as I have loved you. So, yes, brotherly love and sacrificial love are going to overlap heaps. But let's look what the scripture says, first of all, about Philadelphia or brotherly love. The Greek word Philadelphia only appears in our Bibles about 8 times, and it leads us to make 4 statements about brotherly love. Firstly, brotherly love is commanded. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. This is our Philadelphia. In honor giving preference to one another. So here, brotherly love is associated. Showing warm kindness to others and to honoring brothers and to putting them first. Brotherly love is thus associated with a warmth and a kindness and a respect for our brothers and sisters. And we're going to see that coming out over and over again, especially the warmth and kindness. You cannot have love for a brother without warmth. You cannot have love for a sister without kindness. Brotherly love is also commanded in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, that's Philadelphos, be tender-hearted, be courteous. And so their brotherly love is associated of being of one mind. And that can only happen as all of us are submitted to the Word of God and submitted to the Spirit of God. It's associated with sympathizing with each other. We feel with each other. We hurt as each other hurts. And it's also associated with using sweet words and actions, that kindness that comes out through brotherly love. Number 2, brotherly love comes from God. First of all, it's commanded, and secondly, it comes from God. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, and we're taught by God to love each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9 says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. That's obviously outside the local church. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. So brotherly love is literally God-taught. God commands brotherly love, and then he enables us to live with brotherly love. He teaches us how to love our brothers. It does extend beyond the local church to Christians everywhere. And as we meet Christians, we often have that sense, don't we, of brotherly love as we meet another Christian. Oh, you serve the Savior too. He's my Savior as well. Brotherly love should not be static, but brotherly love should always be increasing. We never arrive at that fullness of brotherly love. In 1 Peter, we're reminded again that brotherly love is both a command and it's both enabled by God's Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. That's Philadelphia. So you're enabled through obeying the Scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit, to love one another. So he says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love for the brethren is that word Philadelphia. Love for one another is again the word agape. And so we'll keep seeing this, that the two forms of love, brotherly love and sacrificial love, are going to overlap. When we love each other, we are, first of all, obeying the truth, and secondly, we are in the Spirit. Loving each other is an evidence of the Spirit working in our lives. Nor can our love be feigned or half-hearted. It should be sincere, and it should be fervent. They're the two words used in the Scripture. We're to love one another fervently. The Holy Spirit is not a half-hearted Spirit. I am so encouraged when I see a brother or sister who is fervent in their Christian life, who is fervent in their love for brothers and sisters. It's great to peoples to see people on fire for God. Amen. Number three, brotherly love should be continuous, genuine, fervent, and continuous. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Not rocket science. We say amen to that. Let brotherly love continue. Don't you want to be loved by your brothers and sisters? Of course. And so we love one another. How sweet that would be. We don't worry if our brothers and sisters are failing to love us, but we carry out our responsibility to love brothers and sisters. It's our joy to love brothers and sisters. They are our brothers and sisters. Number four, brotherly love is an evidence of maturity. And that is exactly Peter's point in 2 Peter chapter 1. So let's just follow the verses through again from verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. To knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get to that pinnacle of godliness and brotherly love, you are fruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mark of maturity to be showing love towards brothers and sisters that, frankly, perhaps sometimes rub us up the wrong way, who just say a careless word that hurt us. So we keep loving because Christ first loved us. Okay, having seen how the Scripture speaks about brotherly love, we now need to put these concepts about brotherly love in the context, in the flow of what Peter is saying in 2 Peter. Now, Peter is trying to write a letter to believers to make sure that they're mature, they're fruitful in the faith, and therefore able to stand against false teachers. This whole book is about overcoming error. And so he seeks to see that they be as mature as they can be so that they can detect error when it comes. So he's begun his letter with the clearest description of how to become mature in Christ, or to put that another way, how to disciple someone else anywhere in Scripture. There are other descriptions of discipleship, but this is the clearest sequence we see anywhere. And that's why I've taken the time to go through this very carefully. So let's summarize those verses 5 to 7. We could summarize faith, virtue, and knowledge as commitment. We have come to Christ, and now we're committed to living for Christ. Secondly, we could summarize self-control and perseverance as courage, that determination to make good moral choices despite difficulty or danger. And number three, we could summarize godliness, brotherly love, and sacrificial love as compassion. So three C's for you. Commitment, courage, and compassion could summarize those steps toward godliness. Now, by making this clear sequence, Peter is not saying you don't have to worry about brotherly love until you reach this summit of Christian experience. No, he's not saying that at all. Of course, even the newest Christian, even a brand new Christian, has to show brotherly love towards his brothers and sisters in Christ. It is required of a new Christian to do this, but the brand new Christian is going to fall many times on their way. And so there is not the clarity of brotherly love that you might see later. I think what Peter is teaching is that you won't see brotherly love and you won't see sacrificial love in all its fullness until there is a settled godliness in that person's life. They've struggled against sin many times. They've climbed through self-control and perseverance to that summit of godliness. Godliness, brotherly love, and sacrificial love is the Christian experience at the summit. And what a precious experience it is. What a blessed, contented experience it is. It is full of the love and joy and peace and other fruit of the Spirit of God. There will always be a struggle against sin, but the hard battles have been won. There is a rest. There is an abiding in Christ, a devotion and love for God, which shows and flows out in love for the brethren. The summit is a blessed place to be. As Carol lay in a bed in coronary care, her family who had been visiting her that day had left, and she was now alone. And her thoughts returned to the pain in her chest and that feeling of alone, and a kind of strangling discouragement settled on her. With eyes closed, she prayed, "O Lord, I know that you're here with me. I know I'm not alone. Please, Lord, calm me. Give me your peace. Let me feel your arms around me, drawing me close." As she prayed, her fears began to subside. But God hadn't finished with her yet. When Carol opened her eyes, there was her friend Marge, with a big smile on her face. Her friend's arm encircled her in a hug, and Carol felt like that God himself was holding her and embracing her. How precious brotherly love can be. Why would we ever hold bitterness in our hearts when we can forgive? Why would we ever avoid anyone in this church when we can both be blessed by warmth and kindness? Why would I ever stay on the fringes, just getting a faint smell of brotherly love, rather than enjoying it in all its fullness? Why let past hurts in other churches keep you from enjoying what can be experienced of brotherly love and closeness again? Brothers and sisters, why miss out? Oh, I encourage you to realize that others are shy too. Go up to someone that you haven't greeted for a while and greet them. Greet someone new. Get out of your comfort zone. Ask if you can get someone a drink. Pick up a plate of food and take it round. And if someone brings a plate of food to you, they're not just being a waiter. They're your brother and sister. Take time to greet them and thank them. And let them be in your conversation too. Try and connect with someone this week. Come enjoy fellowship in prayer on Wednesday nights. Get out to the men's and boys' camp. It's not about camping so much as it is about fellowship. Make sure that you mark church events on your calendar. Be faithful in Sunday services. Tell the rest of your extended family to try and make events on a Saturday. You need to be